Technorama episode 364 for January 19th, 2013. Welcome, robot overlords.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
And now, the news.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Everyone will be here in just a few minutes. Any minute now. Where should I set out the drinks?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for January 19, 2013. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm very good. I'm very good tonight.
When will the robot overlords be here, and what do they want to drink?
Well, they'll be here in approximately 1.2 hours. 1.236 hours.
Okay. Synchronize your chronographs now.
Yeah, chronometer. Your internal chronometers.
I have one of those, you know.
I'm sure you do.
Hey, before we go too far, we want to send our thoughts and prayers out to the friends and family of Aaron Swartz, who committed suicide this past week. And unfortunately, he was a very influential person in the internet scene and computer science. And you want to go look for Aaron Swartz. There's a link in the show notes to the Wikipedia page telling the story of him and his final end. And it's kind of sad what came about. And just wanted to pass that on, that we're very sorry to hear the news about his passing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's terrible.
So, all seriousness aside, let's go on with the silliness. I think that should be the other way around, don't you?
Yeah, well, our cuppa for floweth.
Coming up in this episode, we have Star Travel Cuisine. We look at the wonderful world of Silly Putty, and NASA uses Spirograph to predict the end of our spiral galaxy. None of that and more coming up next.
We're at the coffee table, and somebody's drinking tea.
Love the tea. Gotta stay warm.
Yeah. Let's do something funny for Chuck. Craig, let's figure out how to blow the coffee pot up.
With laser beams?
Yeah.
Let's use laser beams to make instant tea. That would be cool. And then let's put it on YouTube and send it to Technorama. Oh. They're out of water. The laser has zapped all the water out.
Hi, this is Dave Slusher from Evil Genius Chronicles, and you are listening to Technorama, because you're in the cool club.
All right, we want to remind you that every week we do this show live at 9:30 Eastern Time on Google Plus Hangouts. Join us. We tweet the message, we put it on Facebook, we put it everywhere that we can find to help you share in the fun. After all, it's Sunday night, and what more excuse do you need to slack off than it's Sunday night, right? So spend an hour with us at 9:30 Eastern, and whatever that translates into your time zone. We've got a live chat room going, and it is going now with 3D is Dead Marv, CES Tomasi, Claudio M, Captain Rootbeer, 4K Tim, Gru, Audio Media Chat, Step K, and ZML 2008. And we are having a rocking good time over there in the chat room. You can see both of us yapping and trapping and admire the fresh haircut. Whatever it happens to be, there's always something new going on.
Hey, and my lack of a haircut.
Oh, hippie, get a haircut.
The lady that cuts my hair couldn't fit me in until next week, and I was like, you got to be kidding. What?
If you can't catch us on Sunday night, we do release this, of course, as a podcast on Wednesday mornings. And it's also available on YouTube on the Technorama podcast channel. So head over there if you want to see all the outtakes and whatnot that Craig does when he's doing his editing magic.
Yeah. Ooh.
We also have a birthday calendar on our wiki over at chuckchat.com/wiki. And coming up this week, we have January 21st. Oh my gosh, we're already talking about birthdays at the end of January.
I know. Before you know it, it'll be December again.
Yeah. Well, there we go. January 21st.
Gotcha.
January 21st, Michael Rebelez, a.k.a. Stingray 42. January 22nd, TAW012294.
I think that's the code off your last boarding pass.
Why aren't you responding, TAW012194?
Yeah. What?
January 23rd is Kathy Luke from Illinois and Chris Moody from the Podio Media Chat. He's in the chat room. Yeah. I just said that. Well, he keeps going in and out. Cyan Fox just joined us in the chat room. Also, we'll give you a quick shout out. I'll be seeing him on Friday morning breakfast every other week at Blueberry Hill.
I want to go.
Come on up. And, oh, hey, well, we've got one more birthday on the 25th, and that could only be you. Happy birthday, yeah. Craig.
Yay.
What are you now, you. About 86? You look pretty good for someone in their 80s.
Close. Divide that by two. Yeah. No, it's even less than that. No, more. Yeah. 86? No.
Math major.
I'll be 44. Oh, well.
44. Yeah, because a couple of years ago we did the 42 thing, didn't we?
Yeah. It's like a fine Romulan wine. It only gets better with time, but it just takes a lot longer with Romulan ale.
That you're making less sense as you get older there, buddy.
Am I? What'd I say?
What, go back and listen.
I think I just heard myself.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman, mail today.
Hey, look, I like how we're doing some of the same visual cues.
Mail. We encourage you to write in to technorama at chuckchat.com or call the listener line 206-222-2428. That's 206-222-CHAT. And this week we got one from Dean Jensen with feedback. We were talking about old games and Pac-Man and whatnot. And one of us, we won't say which one, apparently made a slight error in our verbiage. He writes, he says, Chuck and Craig, you know you're raising a geek when you hear from the back seat of the van, it's power pill, not power button. During your conversation about Pac-Man. Thank you for playing Technorama in the van.
And I think that was your foupah, not mine.
Foupah.
I know.
I thought the foupah was the grand leader of the Royal Order of Water Buffaloes.
Hello, foupah. Yeah.
Raising a geek that even corrects the famous Chuck and Craig. I now know I'm doing something right.
Well, I don't know about famous.
Got to smile about that one, don't you?
Yeah. That is awesome.
All right. I click the picture of rocks, and this is what I get. On this day in history for January 19, 2013, this is the 19th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 346 days remaining in 2013. It was on this date in 1788 that the second group of ships of the First Fleet arrives at Botany Bay. Botany Bay.
Wooden con there. And Captain Charles Wicks circumvents Antarctica, claiming what become... See, I can't hear myself think. Anyway, Captain Charles Wilkes circumnavigates Antarctica, claiming what becomes now known as Wilkes Island for the United States in 1840.
Close enough, we'll go with that.
Sure.
Today in 1883, the first electric lighting system employed overhead wires built by Thomas Edison begins service at Roselle, New Jersey.
And January 19, 1915, George Claude patents the neon discharge tube for use in advertising.
And bars will never be the same.
Vegas wouldn't either.
Cooper's Inc. sells the world's first briefs on this date 78 years ago. What did they use before that? I don't want to know.
Briefs.
Commando.
Burlap bags.
Ow.
They were tough people back then. 76 years ago, Howard Hughes sets a new air record by flying from Los Angeles, California to New York City in 7 hours, 28 minutes, and 25 seconds.
The last Volkswagen Beetle made in Germany leaves VW's plant in Emden On this date in 1978, Beatle production in Latin America, however, continues until 2003.
That's right, and it was today in 1983 that Apple Lisa, the first commercial personal computer from Apple Inc. to have a graphical graphical user interface and a computer mouse is announced.
27 years ago today, the first IBM PC computer virus is released into the wild. It must have been in cages before that. A boot sector virus dubbed Brain, was created by the Farooq Alvi brothers in Lahore, Pakistan, reportedly to detect or deter piracy of the software they had written. Nice try, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, keep waiting. And today in 2006, the New Horizons probe is launched by NASA on the first mission to Pluto.
It's still on its way. Happy birthday goes out of this date to Scottish inventor James Watt. What?
What?
Born on this date in 1736.
Also born on this date in 1813, English inventor Sir Henry Bessemer.
Quick, what did he invent?
The Bessemer.
The process to make steel.
Oh, right.
Dutch astronomer Jacobus Kepton was born, not burned, 162 years ago today. We'll fix that typo quickly.
And John Lyons, the Australian computer scientist, would have been 76 today.
And finally, the woman who gave us the voice of Leela in Futurama, among other things, actress Katie Sagal, turns 59. And that's the way it was on this day in history for January 19th, 2013. You know what I did this afternoon as I was putting together the show notes? I accidentally did January 16th when we record this, not January 19th when it's released. And one of the birthdays is Michael Pataki. Do you know that name?
Yes, I do. Isn't he like the governor of New York?
No. The actor, Michael Pataki.
Oh, the actor.
Come on. Oh, Clinton is cringing right now because he knows.
I'm sure it has something to do with Star Trek.
There you go. You're getting close.
He played the first Kirk. No.
No, no, no. He played the loudmouth Klingon on The Trouble with Tribbles, the one who called the Enterprise a garbage scow.
Oh, right.
He also came back in Next Generation. He was on a number of other shows that you'd recognize if you go look up his Wikipedia page. And I spent 20 minutes putting all these things together and went, wrong date. I had to do it all over. But that was just one of the neat things. His birthday's today. The 16th is where we recorded.
Okay. Well, happy birthday to him.
Here's a random thought of the day before we get into the news. It just occurred to me as I was writing this. You know when people say, it works like magic.
Yeah.
Well, here's a newsflash for you. Magic isn't real. So what does that say about the metaphor? How can you compare something to something that doesn't exist?
The metaphor is not real.
The spoon is not there.
Therefore, we're not real. None of us
are
real.
There is no spoon.
Yeah.
Problem solved. I just had that random thought and went, you know, that's something Julie might appreciate, and she'd probably expound on it.
Impending news, everyone!
Hey, impending news, we told you about the story about the guy who's getting signatures together to build an Enterprise, or he wants to get a proposal to look into building a Starship Enterprise. Apparently there's another one for building a Death Star that didn't go through.
Actually, I liked my headline better. The White House shoots down Death Star.
And the title of the article, this isn't the petition response you're looking for.
Classic.
The administration shares your desire for job creation and a strong national defense, but a Death Star isn't on the horizon. Here are a few reasons. The construction of the Death Star has been estimated at a cost of more than 850, let me get this right, million, billion, trillion, quadrillion. Had to count up. Quadrillion. We're working hard to reduce the deficit, not expand it. The administration does not support blowing up planets. Did you see, speaking of this, did you see the link I put on the Technorama Facebook page with the hard of hearing Darth Vader?
I may have missed that one.
Oh, you gotta go look. Hard of hearing Darth Vader. It made me laugh. This we should have thought of this. They take out some of his lines or just use key facial expressions, like when he turns, and they put in the line, what? It just makes it so funny. What?
What?
You know when he's kind of glancing around when he feels the presence of Obi-Wan, he's going like this?
Oh, yeah.
What? I'm not going to ruin my favorite one, but it has to do with blowing up planets. Go watch the video. Look for it on the Facebook page. It's hysterical. Okay.
I'll go back and look at that then. That's funny.
So apparently the White House has an official response to the proposal, even though the guy did get...
The official response is no.
Exactly.
Sorry, go ahead.
We will not have a fully operational Death Star anytime soon.
Well, what planet would they go blow up?
Mars.
After all that money that we spent sending probes to Mars, you can blow it up?
Okay. Blow up something we can't see with the naked eye, then.
Specks of dust? I don't know.
You go shoot Neptune as it's going behind the sun and accidentally hit the sun.
See, maybe the White House misunderstood the whole thing, and it's not going to cost that much. The Death Star is actually, they wanted to build was this big.
That could be, yeah.
What if it was this big?
Can you explain that for the listeners, Craig? Oh,
as big as my thumb. What if it was that small? Maybe they just wanted to, hey, there's also an alternative. Well, they just get the Lego version. It costs about, what, $400?
Sure, we'll go with that.
You can launch that into space.
And if that wasn't crazy enough, we now have Hacks and Strange Stories! In the Hacks and Strange Stories, yes, it's true. The Windows Phone, which is using, what is it, Windows 8 Mobile RT D2DX, whatever it is.
Yes, something like that.
There is an analog of the blue screen of death in Windows 8. It's called, of course, the black screen of death, which I think Tom, the singer, Dragon Con, Tom Smith.
Smith? Oh, yeah.
He called it right in his song, only he wanted to change to a green screen of death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time your computer crashes, baby kitten dies. Something. Yeah. I haven't heard the song in 6 months, so give me a break.
Well, okay. If that was the case, I'm surprised there's any kittens in the world.
Microsoft's Windows operating system is often mocked for its blue screen of death, the dreaded error message that appears on the all-too-often basis when attempting to work on the computer too hard. And now it seems that the company's Windows Phone platform has a nasty error message of its own. This particular error message, spotted on the HTC 8X, rather hilariously asks you to, quote, insert your Windows installation disk and repair your computer to continue. When I saw the screenshot of this, I thought it was honestly on a computer, not on a phone. Now that I see it on the phone, that's even worse.
Well, you know what's funny is, you know, somebody somewhere is going to be trying to, you know, trying to put it in there.
The
you know
micro
what I mean?
SD slot's too small.
Yeah, I can't. Where do I put this CD in?
Can I do a portable Linux boot off of this thing?
You may. Actually, it's just funny.
The image below was posted to Twitter by Johnny Rutkowski, who insists it's not a fake. Admittedly, that was first thought when he saw it. It's clearly a basic error message that's part of the Windows platform, which Microsoft didn't bother updating for the Windows Phone devices. But it's laughable when you see a smartphone asking its user to install a disk.
Yeah, and it's in that pesky DOS. That's why they didn't see it.
The complete message says, Windows Boot Manager. Windows failed to start. A recent hardware software change might be the cause. To fix the problem, 1. Insert your Windows installation disk and restart your computer. 2.
Oh, well, I'm
choose
screwed.
Your language settings and click Next. Click. 3. Click Repair Your Computer. If you do not have this disk, contact your system administrator or computer manufacturer for assistance. File / Windows.
Or contact them for laughs.
Yeah. Hey, what are you going to do about this? File is /windows/ system32/boot/winload.efi. Status 0xc000225. Info. The application or operating system couldn't be loaded because a required file is missing or contains errors.
Oh.
Windows key equals recovery. Where's the Windows key on my phone?
Hey, what was that? A Windows nostalgia click, and it was a window. It was a screenshot of a window that said, your files failed successfully.
Your file failed successfully? What? All right.
Yeah, it was.
It's an oxymoron.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a good one.
Over at Amazon, we have yet another strange story. We talked about, or at least I posted on the Facebook page, about the reversible Wookiee jacket, which inside was all furry and outside looked more leathery, which I don't know what if that's what it looks like when you skin a Wookiee, but we now have the...
And by the way, skinning a Wookiee also includes the, you know, the bandolero thing.
But apparently not the boots. I don't know.
I guess they're just born with the sash thing.
Amazon has now, and I might consider this for real, I put it on my wish list, a Star Wars Chewbacca robe. Yes, it's got the hood, it's got the pockets, it's got the bandolier thing, and it looks warmer than what I've got for a bathrobe right now. For $64.99 US, you save $4.
Hey, it's also prime, so you can get it in like 2 days.
It's in stock, too. Sold by Urban Buckle and fulfilled by Amazon. Gift wrap available. Want it by Tuesday, January 15th?
Hey, by the way, down below, there's like several alternatives. There's a Jedi one, a Boba Fett one, a Stormtrooper one. But I like the one that says Darth Vader. It actually looks more like the Emperor standing there.
It does look like the Emperor. An Emperor bathrobe!
Yeah, he looks like he just got out of the shower himself.
With a Tesla coil coming out the
hand. Hey, by the way, the Yoda one looks a little weird.
The Yoda one? I didn't see the Yoda one.
Scoot over a little bit.
Yeah, oh, hey, no.
It's got the ears sticking out.
No.
Nope. That's funny.
Maybe on a kid that would be cute.
Yeah, like a small child.
Small child, yeah.
Yeah.
And since we're on a Star Wars kick in the Hacks and Strange story, we have taxidermied Star Wars things. Yes, yeah. Now you can put a big ugly Bantha head above your fireplace.
But that's not all. There's more.
Yes, there's more. There's the, what is the ice beast called in the cave?
The wombat.
The wombat with tauntauns flanking him on your fireplace. I like there's a little dog underneath too. Like that's what he had for lunch. And the Rancor is my favorite.
By the way. And by the way, there's two tauntauns also beside the wombat.
That's what I said, flanking the wombat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Until I saw this picture, I didn't realize the Rancor had a pierced ear. But
yeah, you're right.
Apparently, it's true.
I think it's more like the is it a chain or something? Maybe
because that's how I would haul my Rancor around instead of a nose ring.
Nose ring.
Put him on a leash. He doesn't have a neck, so a leash doesn't work.
That's right. That's funny.
You know, guy did cry when he died, so it was his pet.
You know, I should be... here, let's share that.
There you go. Now we're the big game hunters, and now you have a reason to go to the...
zoom in a little bit. There you go.
Quarter page. You like that, chat room?
There's the Rancor. Here you go. There's the Tauntaun and the Wombat. Yeah, but that one's kind of cool, but there's no way I could talk Kim into that.
No. I don't even have a fireplace, and I wouldn't even get close with one of these suggestions.
Yeah. Hey, let's put a fake fireplace in the house. Oh, by the way, let's also put... No. Just wouldn't work.
You know, of the three, if you had to choose, what would you get?
I don't know, the Wombat's tempting because... I'd either get the wombat or the, what you call it there? My mind's gone blank. The Bantha.
Yeah. I'm kind of leaning towards the Bantha.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Okay. Hey, we're going to take a real quick.
Hey, yeah. By the way, I bet that's, that hair smells terrible.
Bantha poodoo. We're going to take a real quick break and we will be back with the media corner. And we've got some things to talk about, Facebook people, and some books. It's that time of the month again where we talk about what are you reading. Stick around. We'll be right back.
He rolls 20 every time. He laid out plans for man to reach Mars and return safely on a cocktail napkin. The next day, it was approved. He always knows where his towel is. He is the most interesting geek in the world.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Technorama. Stay geeky, my friends.
This is is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
In the Media Corner!
I have another random thought. I'm just going to stick these into the show notes as I come up with them.
But isn't it amazing that the entire Star Wars universe has consistent data ports? Think about it. We've got USB, we got USB mini, we got USB A, B, and C, we've got and that's just USB. Now we got Thunderbolt, and we've got a whole bunch of other things, but yet every data port in the Star Wars universe is the same, and better than that, they're all at R2-D2's height, so he can just plug in and download whatever the heck he wants.
Yeah, well, there you go. That actually simplifies things.
I want to be... Well, what if you don't happen to have an R2 unit around?
Well, then you're in trouble. Actually, you have to bend over and put a cable in.
All I have is this SD card. Maybe there's a human interface and there's a robot interface, and that's the robot interface standard. But who came up with that? Was it the Empire? Was it the Republic? How did they get all these planets and ships and things consistent? That'll never happen here.
Well, let's see. If we look at places that we know the Empire technically was not, like the Cloud City or...
Still worked.
I know. Or Coruscant in some of the newer movies. They all had ports and stuff, too.
It's all that circly thing that he spins around to either lower the shields
there had to be some kind of universal standard. And when I say universal, I mean universe.
they really didn't have very good security if any old R2 unit could come up and shut down a deflector shield, did they?
I know. Yeah. Anybody that has a decent R2 unit can just escape.
Either that or R2 was the Kevin Mitnick of Star Wars.
Kevin Mitnick, yeah. That's funny.
Think about it. It is funny when you start noticing things like that. That movie is just rife for suggestions like that. All right. You spotted this one, and I love it. This is a live-action Toy Story. It took them, 2 years to do this thing?
Yeah, 2 years. One of them now is 19, and the other one's 21.
Yeah, and it took them... They have every toy in there, even the mutant toys.
Yeah, like the alarm clock with the hand.
Yeah, and the fishing pole legs, and it's amazing. A lot of it is done on wires. You can see it looks like Woody's kind of getting hung half the time. Like
sometimes he's a marionette looking, and then other times you can see the wires where they were doing them like puppets.
And some is even stop action, where they're on the skateboard trying to get out of Sid's house. But the one that cracked me up is during the Mrs. Nesbitt scene where he rescues Buzz.
Right.
And he goes, out the window! Buzz, you're a genius! And he traverses. I mean, they've got these scenes nailed. Every one of these scenes. Camera angles, lighting, everything. The carpeting. It's amazing. You see Woody, and he looks like he's more or less getting dragged across the carpet at this point. It's got a cheese factor, but it's really fun to watch.
Yeah. At the end, to spoil it, you know, there's a spoiler alert, where they're rocketing towards the moving truck, and you can see they used miniature, like matchbox type cars and stuff, and they superimposed the back of the truck on the back. You know, so it's like
I didn't see the end yet, but okay, I'll watch that.
So yeah, it does look a little bit cheesy, but at the same time, that's mesmerizing because these are scenes you've seen before. Yet here's a different representation of it. Yeah. But I read this in an article, which makes total sense that, you know, when you watch this, it's mesmerizing because even though the effects are, you know, they're okay. I look past the wires and everything, and you find out you clearly care about the characters because you're engrossed in the story. And I think that's a testament to the writing of that for that movie.
Yeah. And how accurate these guys did. I mean, Andy's that room, the wallpaper's all there, the houses, reading the backstory is kind of fun too. How they,
you know, had to go out and find all these toys and build some of them, to build the mutants, and to drive around Southern California looking for houses that looked like they were part of the set. I mean, it's just amazing. They really, really did a good job.
Yeah. So, I read, and I'm trying to find out a little bit more about this, but they got permission to go they were making a trip to go to Pixar. I think they actually wanted to get in to Pixar, but they got permission to give out DVD copies of the movie at the gate.
Oh, wow.
And they also, and it looks like they got pseudo permission to go ahead and release it on the internet. So that's why it's on YouTube. So,
yeah, they said the backstory said they were real nervous about how Pixar would accept this. I mean, Disney will shut you down for a lot of things. So,
yeah, but we're talking about Pixar here, and I think, in a lot of ways, I think they realize that, you know, people's enthusiasm for these things is what makes the company good. You know, you get into it. I mean, I love Pixar because of all the good stories they've given us, and it's a lot of fun to watch. You know, I would hope that they wouldn't shut me down because I made some fanfic, you know, and I think that they did although it's the same movie, and they did use some of the soundtrack. But it looks like they're playing nice with these guys and just let them kind of have their day.
They used a lot of the soundtrack, except for the live actors part.
Which even the guy that played Andy sounded like the kid a little bit, and Sid.
And Hannah. Yeah. the kids did an awesome job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch. I would, if you hadn't seen it, go at least skip through it and check it out. It's at the very least, it's very good.
Yep. Yep. All right. We've got another topic that's been on our minds. Kind of all over the place on here. Saw something that came across the news feeds today. It just said, what do you think about people without Facebook accounts? They're far and few between, and my wife, being one of them, does not have a Facebook account. And I wanted to ask you, Craig, what do you think about people without Facebook accounts? When you say, oh, you know, that's on Facebook, like, oh, I don't do Facebook.
Maybe they're enlightened. I don't know.
They certainly spend a lot less time on these computer thingies than we do.
Yeah, well, you know, there's probably, to be honest with you, there's probably something to be said from both sides. My wife doesn't like Facebook. I think I saw her, I got a message one day that said, you know, are you friends with Kimberly? I was like, oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden, as soon as I went to add her, she was gone. So she was like on Facebook for like 5 minutes or less. So I don't know. I tell people when I go to get on the people, I think a lot of people are scared to post anything on here. Why would I are scared, or they think nobody's going to care. You know, why would anybody want to read my crap, or, you know, or there's nobody out there that I'd be interested in conversing with anyway, that I don't on a daily basis. So there's a few reasons.
Finding the amount of people and the connections that I can keep alive that wouldn't otherwise be there.
Mm-hmm.
Totally valuable.
Well, that's what I was going to get at was, see, for me, all right, two things. One, I don't post anything on there that I wouldn't share in
exactly
conversation.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I always try to keep it positive. Now, there's times when you go, hey, you know, hey, eBay, could you please try and limit people from outside the U.S. from bidding on my auction that clearly says U.S. shipments only, so I don't get a guy who wins it from Thailand?
Yeah.
Not that just happened last weekend. Well,
And I think having that filter of think I wouldn't share things that I wouldn't tell anybody in normal conversation or share with anybody.
Yeah.
That keeps you protected a little bit, because I'm not putting pictures of me, you know, drinking online.
We save that for the video.
Yeah. that in itself is good. But yeah, you hit a nail on the head. See, my dad just recently set up Facebook, and he's like, I don't know if I want these. Add these people as friends, and you know, all this. I'm like, what does it matter? They're just seeing what you post, and which is very little.
What does it cost?
And you get to read what they're doing, but he's made some connections, and that's what I told him. The value there is, some of the connections I've made, and you know, and maintain through Facebook, you know, is just that's the value right there.
I had more fun on Saturday conversing back and forth with my cousin in Baltimore, because the football playoffs are going on at this point. Mm-hmm. It was the Baltimore-Denver game, and she's obviously rooting for Baltimore. And then due to some wonderful overtime in that football game, it ran over the Green Bay Packers and San Francisco 49ers game. Mm-hmm. And we were going back and forth. It was like she was sitting next to me in the room at many points. As soon as the Ravens would do something, like, woo! You know, all over Facebook. It was so funny. You could just hear the emotion coming through.
That's awesome.
So, you know, to have that, I haven't talked to her for more than, you know, before connecting with her on Facebook a year or two ago, I haven't talked to her in probably 30 years, you know, so what's there, that's priceless that we're able to reconnect and find a common passion. I didn't know she liked football until this last weekend, you know, so cool stuff like that. I mean, grandma keeps up with all of her family, my mother-in-law.
Sure.
She's you know, right, left, and center. She's the clearinghouse of information. If it's not on Facebook, ask grandma, because she knows what's going on.
Well, yeah, she probably has time to read all the posts. Well, you know, I've actually found family that I had no idea what I was related to. You know, it was some other steps that I ran across to on Facebook, and the name popped up as somebody I might know. I was like, but they spelled it differently. They spelled it the same way without the E. You know, you can see in the video, I spelled mine STEPPE. Well, they didn't have the E. And one of the guys replied to one of my posts, and I replied and says, oh, you need to learn how to spell your name right. Well, then it kind of got into this. He was telling me why we had the E and why they didn't. Turns out he's like a distant cousin.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. And then some family. Speaking of games, I got to tell you this. The South Carolina-Wisconsin game a few weeks ago. You know, I'm sure everybody got tired of me posting on Facebook because, oh, man, that ref was blind giving Michigan the first down. And then Clowney from South Carolina turned around and took the ball back. And we were like, oh, there, way to go. You know, so we were going back and forth about that as well, you know.
Now, getting back to my question, what do you think about the people without Facebook accounts? My general impression is you're missing out. It doesn't take a huge investment to keep up with what other people are doing, and you don't need to follow everybody in the world to keep informed. I mean, there's times when I go, who is this and why am I following him again?
No. There's a few people like that. But, you know, what do I think? Honestly, I think they are missing out, just like you said, but at the same time, you know, you can't really be upset with them.
No, I'm not upset.
So, yeah. I think they're missing out some.
All right.
I'm all about making connections anyway. That's just been my life, you know, making friends wherever, you know, until somebody proves themselves unworthy, I'm going to treat you as a friend.
We're
you know,
that's just worthy. My philosophy. We're not worthy.
No, I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
That's the way I treat everybody. And so with the social networking, it's a perfect fit for me. And so people without it, I don't know, maybe they're introverts. I don't know.
I wouldn't say that. No, I think they just have a different set of priorities.
And
I mean, to be blunt, I don't think their relationships are as expanded. Not really in depth. I mean, because there's a lot of people on Facebook that I only know through Facebook, but there's a whole bunch more that I've met in person that now I can keep in touch with in you know, to a much greater extent than I normally would otherwise. I mean, I'm certainly not going to write all these people postal letters.
Yeah.
Let alone emails.
Well, so, you know, I had a friend who he graduated a year early from high school, and he went to school in Kansas, and he moved in New Mexico. It's Craig Watson, my old friend, and he's on Facebook now. Mm-hmm. But I remember I may even have a letter or two sitting around where he had written a letter and mailed it to people about a newsletter about himself. And so now, you know, I just see what he's doing on Facebook. So, you know, I think, yeah, again, there is a lot of value to Facebook. At the same time, you know, I think I was kind of half kidding when I said people were enlightened, but there's probably some wisdom to not having a bunch of social networks and not being distracted by them all the time, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There is the distraction factor.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So what do you? So wait a minute. So what do you? What does that make you think about people with Facebook accounts? I guess we got to kind of cover that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. I think they have a much richer relationship experience. Period.
But as with all things, it's what you put in, you're going
to
get out.
Yep. Yep. Let's get on with the Geek Library because I wanted to ask you, we did this about a month ago at the behest of one of our listeners. What are you reading?
Well, I haven't read much in the since we last talked about this, but I do have Red Shirts downloaded because you highly recommended it. And that's in my queue.
That's a fun read.
To read. So, that's pretty much what I got. Let me pull up my to read list because I had some good stuff.
Yep.
What was the next one I wanted to do? Read.
While you're doing that, let me tell you what prompted this discussion. Not only that, it's time to ask everybody but Donna is going to Hawaii with one of her friends in a few days, probably by the time you hear this, faithful listener, and wanted to know about audiobooks. She's got my old second generation iPod Touch and said, can you download me some audiobooks? Well, which astounded me because she's a physical reader, but she's not going to bring 40 pounds worth of books with her on the plane.
Yeah.
So I went to Amazon and they have a ton of free Kindle books. Well, of course, the iPod Touch was still on iOS 4, only goes as high as 4.2.1 because of hardware limitations and support and whatnot. You can't get it up to 5. So they don't support the Kindle app, but they do support Audible. So here's what I checked out because I wanted to check this out anyway. I've been seeing the commercials about WhisperSync, where you can listen to some of these audiobooks and have the Kindle version at the same time, and wherever you pause one, it will pick up and resume with the other. So you can read some on the Kindle, listen to some on Audible.
Whoa. Really?
Yes.
That's cool.
That's cool, right. And that's why I wanted to check it out. So first I dabbled with it on my iPad and on my iPhone, and then I got her set up with the Audible books. Now, many of these free books have a free audio component to them. Not all of them, but if you go look for free Kindle books, you'll see things like what did I pick up? Tale of Two Cities. Okay. David Copperfield. What else did I get? Whole bunch of freebies, you know, classic stuff that's in the public domain or has been for a while. Some of them, if they're not free, they're really cheap. I think Moby Dick was like 95 cents, and there was another one for 49 cents. So I got 6, 7, 8 Kindle books for free, and the audio component that goes with them for about $1.50. So she's all set up for her trip. I've got a whole bunch of stuff sitting on the Kindle and sitting in audible.com on my iPhone. So, Audible is, I'm not trying to, make a commercial out of this, but they treat their members right too.
All right. What's the code?
I wish I had one, right?
Yeah, right.
Our sponsor bell. Maybe we'll get a sponsor. They treat their members well. Every once in a while you get a free audio book. It's like, hey, we got the Blue Carbuncle by, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was last month. Mm-hmm. This month they had a 3-for-2 sale. So I don't buy a book every month. So I usually have a few credits sitting in the bank.
Oh, you don't do like the auto draft? You just buy credits as you go?
It's a monthly subscription. So for whatever it is, $13, $14, you get a credit. And then I try to buy something that's either $14 or greater. If you got a $14 credit, you don't go buy a $3 book. You can buy the $60 book. So I had 4 of them sitting around and they had a 3-for-2 sale. So for 2 credits, you can get 3 books. Now it was limited to like 250 books across 5 or 6 genres. Hey, I got 6 books that I probably wouldn't have bought half of those anyway. So I still have stuff on my waiting list. Now I've got a whole bunch of stuff to listen to. I've got the 6 that I bought from the 3-for-2 sale. I've got all the freebies that I downloaded for Donna. I tried the WhisperSync out just before the show started. Started listening to Moby Dick. Actually, she was listening to Moby Dick upstairs. So when I pulled up the Kindle version, it said, because I tied them to my account.
Yeah.
It says, you're on page 95. I went, whoa, slow down.
Wow. That is really cool. I did not realize the audiobook and the text versions were tied together.
Cool feature.
I mean, I've of course been in a Kindle app and, you know, read some and then went to a different device and it wanted to move a page. I thought that was awesome itself.
This is where cloud really starts to get useful. So what I'm, to answer my own question, I'm currently going through Abraham Lincoln. Where'd the darn thing go?
Like the movie version? The book?
No, it's a biography.
Okay.
Not an autobiography. Oh, I know why, because I'm in not downloaded. Downloaded? Yeah, it's just called A. Lincoln by Ronald White. And that's what I'm going through right now. I also downloaded Clockwork Universe, which is about Sir Isaac Newton and the Royal Society. I still have Tom Clancy Dead or Alive in my backlog. I downloaded Endurance. That was another thing that came up on this day for the wrong day. It was January 16th, 1904. Shackleton reaches the magnetic South Pole.
Oh yeah, actually, I've got a book with pictures and stuff about that expedition.
Very good. I love that explanation, Craig. I got a book with pictures and stuff.
No, I meant from that expedition. It's the pictures from the expedition. It's really neat. It's not just pictures. You know what I'm saying?
Do you color inside the lines?
No, they show the sled dogs and, you know, the boat sitting there in the ice. It's kind of neat.
That was a rough trip. That was a rough trip. That's not one that I want to put on my, you know, travel itinerary.
No. So, all right, the books that I told you about, Red Shirts, I got that downloaded and I'm ready to read that. Actually, a physical book I've actually got is one my mother let me borrow. It's called Sacre Bleu from Christopher Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And it deals with Vincent van Gogh. So I'm not sure how that's going to go. But Christopher Moore, from what I understand, he's kind of a comedic writer in the sense of kind of like Douglas Adams. So.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see how that's going to turn out.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that takes care of it. We want to know what you're listening to, faithful reader, because we get our hints from you and you get our hints from me, and it's kind of like that social thing where you see who's reading what. So let us know. We have run out of time. We'll give you all the information to contact us. Of course, 206-222-CHAT, 206-222-4228 is how you get in touch with us.
Should we call that the Technorama Book Club?
Hey, we could do that. That's right. We have the Geek Library.
Hey, you know what? Can't you make communities on Goodreads? Maybe we should do a Technorama community.
Oh, maybe we should. Of course, in my case, it would be Good Listens.
Well, you can go in and still rate the book.
Right. Chris Moody says he's listening to Wicked. Surprised they had a guy read it for Audible. You can email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. I'm sorry, you were about to say?
Oh, I was just going to say I did... Read the newest book from T and Pip, The Ministry.
The Janus Affair?
Yes.
Yep. Good book. You can also find us on all the...
I'm sorry, I'm going to keep interrupting you.
I'm trying to wrap up the show. We're at 50 minutes. I'm being kind to the listener.
I was going to tell you that dude that y'all were talking about, he did have a great voice.
They all do. The readers on Audible are really good.
Yeah.
Find us on all the social networks, Twitter, Facebook, Gmail, Google Plus, shut up. And we got all these things talking to each other now, too. So Craig's cross-wired all the IFTTT stuff. It's a lot of fun. And like I said, Facebook page, go like it. We get more visibility that way. Our traffic seems to have fallen off after the holidays, and we want you to comment, to share, to
build like, it back up.
Build it back up. I want to see that graph heading north again, not like the stock market. That's not a good thing.
Nah.
Special thanks to Matt Marr for providing all the great blog content during the week. And, you know, he's also contributing here and there on Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff. Everyone who sent us links during the week and the feedback, thank you very much. We appreciate the mail from Dean. And let us know what you think. We asked a bunch of questions in this show. You better answer some. So get going.
Yeah, get going.
Links to all this are in the show notes. Thanks, everybody, who spent time with us in the Hangout in the chat room. And thank you for downloading and listening. This show is still a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. And also check out all the podcasts over at Farpoint Media. They're good stuff over there. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, a binary high five.
101.